Well, here we are again. The comment section of my last video, Are Trads Really That Bad?, was predictably filled with accusations of schism, excommunication, and being outside of the church with regard to the SSPX and attendance of society masses. Now, I have two videos where I address the accusations of excommunication and schism in considerable detail. They are, Was Archbishop Lefebvre Really Excommunicated? And The SSPX Is Not in Schism. I'm not going to so much lay out the arguments that Lefebvre was not actually excommunicated and that the SSPX is not in schism here. Watch those videos for those arguments. What I'm going to do here is point out undeniable facts concerning the SSPX. Realize that if you deny these undeniable facts, then you have a different position concerning the SSPX than the church herself has, and as a result may yourself be in schism for refusing to be in communion with those who are in communion with the Roman Pontiff, namely those of us who attend the SSPX Masses. I'm going to try as much as possible to cite the most official and recent responses from the competent authorities, namely the Pontifical Commission Ecclesia Dei, or PCED, which no longer exists, but was the ecclesiastical body with jurisdiction over the SSPX, as well as other authoritative sources. Undeniable truth number one, the SSPX is not in formal schism. Dario Cardinal Castrillon Hoyos was prefect of the Congregation for the Clergy from 1996 to 2006 and president of the Pontifical Commission Ecclesia Dei from 2000 to 2009. Cardinal Hoyos made several public statements that the SSPX was not in formal schism. In 2008, Brian Mershon wrote the Cardinal asking a series of questions concerning the SSPX. Your Eminence, I have compiled as reference numerous public interviews, both print and television, where you are quoted as stating that the case of the Society of St. Pius X is, quote, not a formal schism, and other words to that effect. Question, is this your mere private opinion or the official teaching of the Catholic Church in your official capacity as head of the Pontifical Commission Ecclesia Dei? The PCED responded, statements made by Cardinal Castrillon need to be understood in a technical canonical sense. Stating that the Society of St. Pius X is not in formal schism is to say that there has been no official declaration on the part of the Holy See that the Society of St. Pius X is in schism. Question. Does the Catholic Church currently hold that the situation of the Society of St. Pius X is not one for ecumenical dialogue because the Society of St. Pius X is an internal matter within the Catholic Church? The PCED responded, up to now, the Catholic Church has acted as if the situation of the Society of St. Pius X is an internal matter within the Catholic Church and not a matter of ecumenical dialogue. In other words, they're saying the SSPX is not a separate entity from the Catholic Church, such as the Orthodox or Protestant churches. They are a matter within the Catholic Church, which means they are not in schism. Question, what level of authority do your answers to this private correspondence hold? The PCED responded, this pontifical commission does its best to transmit responses which are in full accord with the magisterium and the present canonical practices of the Catholic Church. One should accept them with docility and can act upon them with moral certainty. We would further add that no dicastery of the Holy See will give other responses than those which we have given here. Undeniable truth number two. Nobody in the SSPX is currently excommunicated. In 1988, Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre validly yet illicitly consecrated four bishops, incurring an automatic excommunication for Lefebvre, the four bishops, and Bishop de Castermeyer, the co-consecrator. Of course, the supporters of the SSPX, including myself, say the excommunications themselves were not valid. But this is a moot point. In 2009, Pope Benedict XVI lifted the excommunications of the four bishops. Quote, on the basis of the powers expressly granted to me by the Holy Father Benedict XVI, by virtue of the present decree, I remit the penalty of excommunication, lete sententia, incurred by Bishops Bernard Follet, Bernard Tissier de Malleray, Richard Williamson, and Alfonso de Galarreta. Bishop Williamson's excommunication was reinstated, but he is no longer in the SSPX. Bishop de Castromeyer was never in the SSPX, and Archbishop Lefebvre, though his excommunication was never lifted, is deceased. The critics of the SSPX continually point out that Archbishop Lefebvre is still considered excommunicated, as if that reflects on the SSPX today. And while I personally do not believe Lefebvre's excommunication was valid, just because the founder of a priestly society is excommunicated, that does not mean the society he founded is also excommunicated. That's not how excommunications work. Excommunications are for individuals, not groups. As of today, none of the bishops or priests of the Society of St. Pius X are excommunicated. Now consider the absurdity of the idea that these SSPX bishops are not excommunicated, but also not in full communion. This is a contradiction. If you are not excommunicated from the Catholic Church, then you must be in communion with the Catholic Church, and you can't be in communion with the Catholic Church and be in schism. The Code of Canon Law 1364.1 reads, "An apostate from the faith, a heretic, or a schismatic incurs a laetae sententia, excommunication." Rome has specifically said these men are not excommunicated. Well, according to canon law, you cannot be a schismatic and not be excommunicated. So the lifting of the excommunications of the SSPX bishops is Rome saying they are not schismatic, and Rome knew perfectly well their positions on Vatican II, the new Mass, etc. Now, undoubtedly, someone will say that the mutual excommunications of the East and the West that occurred in 1054 were lifted, yet the Orthodox are still in schism, i.e., lifting these excommunications did not end the schism. This rebuttal is based on a misconception. The West did not excommunicate the Eastern Orthodox churches, and the East did not excommunicate the Catholic Church. Like I said, excommunications are for individuals, not organizations. What happened in 1054 is this. The papal legate, with the authority of the pope, excommunicated the bishop of Constantinople and his entourage, and the bishop of Constantinople excommunicated the papal legate and his entourage. The men involved excommunicated each other, and that's what was lifted. Don't believe me? This is what the document signed by Pope Paul VI and the then bishop of Constantinople lifting the excommunications says. Among the obstacles along the road of the development of these fraternal relations of confidence and esteem, there is the memory of the decisions, actions, and papal incidents which in 1054 resulted in the sentence of excommunication leveled against the patriarch Michael Cerulaeus and two other persons by the legate of the Roman See under the leadership of Cardinal Humbertus, legates who then became the object of a similar sentence pronounced by the patriarch and the Synod of Constantinople. One cannot pretend that these events were not what they were during this very troubled period of history. Today, however, they have been judged more fairly and serenely. Thus, it is important to recognize the excesses which accompanied them and later led to consequences, which, insofar as we can judge, went much further than the authors had intended and foreseen. They had directed their censors against the persons concerned and not the churches. These censures were not intended to break ecclesiastical communion between the sees in Rome and Constantinople. The reason the Orthodox are still in schism is because they refuse to submit themselves to the Roman pontiff. They deny that he has universal authority over the church. But those men, were they alive today, would be in communion with the Catholic Church, because the excommunications have nothing to do with the schism. Undeniable truth number three. Their sacraments are valid, and receiving them is not schismatic. The PCED has repeatedly said that the masses offered by the priests of the SSPX are valid but illicit. The 2008 response to Brian Mershon says, for example, "The priests of the Society of St. Pius X are validly ordained but suspended, that is, prohibited from exercising their priestly functions because they are not properly incardinated in a diocese of religious institution in full communion with the Holy See, and also because those ordained after the schismatic episcopal ordinations were ordained by an excommunicated bishop. Concretely, this means that the masses offered by the priests of the Society of St. Pius X are valid but illicit." Now, as stated earlier, those bishops are no longer excommunicated. And since 2016 and 2017, the priests of the Society of St. Pius X can now validly and licitly hear confessions and perform marriages, which were the only two sacraments that were considered to have been invalid in the SSPX because they both require the permission of the local bishop. And I will go into more detail in that later. The document from 2008 also says, quote, "While it is true that participation in the Mass at the chapels of the Society of St. Pius X does not itself constitute formal adherence to the schism, such adherence can come over a period of time as one slowly imbues a schismatic attitude which separates itself from the teaching of the Roman Pontiff and the entire Catholic Church." Okay, so this document says that the SSPX is not in formal schism, but then starts referring to the, quote, schism. And this is typical of all the PCED and other documents dealing with the SSPX. They are not officially in schism, but there is this schismy thing floating around out there concerning the society. So what's going on? Well, on one hand, it's the same as saying they're not excommunicated, but they're not in full communion. It's this nominalistic, Descartian, Kantian, relativistic crap philosophy that's permeated the church over the last few centuries that violates the law of non-contradiction by saying a thing can be something and not be something simultaneously. On the other hand, the church is not saying the SSPX is in schism. It says that what Lefebvre did when he consecrated the four bishops was schismatic. They are saying that only Lefebvre and the others involved in the consecrations are schismatic. The priests of the society, the laity who attend the chapels, and today the bishops of the society themselves, since their excommunications were lifted, are only schismatic to the extent that they adhere to said schismatic act. That's what Rome is saying. However, since the document declaring all this schismy stuff concerning the SSPX has been abrogated, which will be my next point, and was done after all these letters from the PCED were issued, we can't even say that anymore. And when the consecrations were declared a schismatic act, many canon lawyers cried foul. Consecrating bishops without Rome's approval has never been considered a schismatic act, and the Code of Canon Law does not call it schismatic. Disobedience to the Roman Pontiff does not equal schism. It is clear to anyone who has looked into Lefebvre's thought process that it was not his intention to separate himself and the society from Rome, or set up a parallel church, which is required for it to be considered schism. And before you put comments saying that what the Pope says overrides canon law, no, it doesn't. The Pope is not above canon law. He can change canon law at will, but he has to actually change it, and that was never done. And what about the Novus Ordo? There are people who attend Novus Ordo masses who don't believe Francis is the Pope. No one in the SSPX believes that. The SSPX is firm that Francis is the Pope. But all this is a moot point because undeniable truth number four is the document Ecclesia Dei is no longer in effect. The critics of the SSPX love quoting the motu proprio Ecclesia Dei by Pope John Paul II. This is the document declaring that Lefebvre and the four bishops had incurred a laetate sententia excommunication, and it calls the consecrations a schismatic act. It warns the faithful, quote, "In the present circumstances, I wish especially to make an appeal both solemn and heartfelt, paternal and fraternal, do all those who until now have been linked in various ways to the movement of Archbishop Lefebvre, that they may fulfill the grave duty of remaining united to the Vicar of Christ in the unity of the Catholic Church and of ceasing their support in any way of that movement. Everyone should be aware that formal adherence to the schism is a grave offense against God and carries the penalty of excommunication decreed by the Church's law." When engaging in dialogue about the SSPX, their critics will undoubtedly point this out. The problem is it's irrelevant. It no longer applies. The same document that lifted the excommunications makes the entire document null and void. Quote, "On the basis of the powers expressly granted to me by the Holy Father Benedict XVI by virtue of the present decree, I remit the penalty of excommunication laetate sententia incurred by Bishops Bernard Fillet, Bernard Tissier de Malleray, Richard Williamson, and Alfonso de Galarreta, and declared by this congregation on 1 July 1988. At the same time, I declare that, as of today's date, the decree issued at that time no longer has juridical effect." Unfortunately, you can bring this fact up over and over again, and it will have no effect. These people will continue to quote this abrogated document, because it's all they have. Okay, this video turned out to be a lot longer than I expected. It's got a runtime of about 35 minutes, and I just did a long video last week, so I've decided to make this a two-part series. I've identified 8 undeniable truths about the SSPX. I've given 4 in this video, and I will give the other 4 next week. Until my next video, God bless.